Today, the title is The Character of the Man. That's our theme for today. A preacher used this illustration recently. A wife was looking into the mirror and saying, Why do I have big bags under my eyes, several chins under my chin, and wrinkles all over my face? She turns to her husband and says, Can't you say something encouraging to me? He pondered, and his reply was, Your eyesight is 100%. It may be a little harsh, and it may be a little funny, fine. But God sometimes says things to us as we read the word, and it is very pertinent, practical, and to the point. So, pray that God will encourage you in this way as you listen to his word at home or here in the church. Now, in chapter 1, which was a couple of months ago now, we saw that Nehemiah concerned for Jerusalem. It was an example to be concerned for the church. His call to Jehovah and his confession of sin, and he cries out to God. Nehemiah cared enough to weep, cared enough to pray, and cared enough to volunteer. Great to see. When Nehemiah prayed for his nation, he did not sit and say, You do it, God. For me, it's finished. No. He wanted to continue to be involved and to see what he could do. This book is full of his accomplishments as you read the following chapters, and under God, he achieved many great things. Now, initially, he had to wait for 4 months. Notice that in chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about the month of Nisan. And if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about the month of Kislev, and they are 4 months apart in the Jewish calendar. As well as the delay, we are told he was sad in the presence of the king. And usually, eastern kings were protected from sadness, but not here. The king asks, Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? Nehemiah's response is in verse 3. The king deals sympathetically with Nehemiah. What an example of a king, you know, you don't expect kings to notice such changes in the people around them there. He saw the sadness and he personally involved himself with the individual. The king's conclusion is in verse 2. It was sorrow of the heart. When you see sadness in someone, do you concern yourself or do you try and walk away? Not knowing what to say or whatever now. Well, always seek to be an encouragement and support someone in their need. And this king, with all his regal responsibilities, shows true consideration. Nehemiah states the problem and the king encourages him by saying, What is your request? So we come to one first point of four. No, I pressed the wrong button. His request, right? His request. And that's there in verse 5. This is Nehemiah's request there. Now notice, his request was surrounded by and in prayer. What did he pray for? Well, we don't know. It was one of these instant prayers. Could have been for wisdom, for the king's heart to be inclined, but we don't know. In a moment, as a result of his circumstances. Now, here was a man that prayed at work. Now, that's important to realize there. And it's important because it's an example for us to follow. This is not something that is recorded as being common in the Bible, but someone who, as he goes about his business, prays. We have times of prayer when we devote ourselves to prayer. don't we? Often in a quiet time there. And but as we go about our lives, we need to be praying. Whether we're in business, whether we're in leisure, whether we're relaxing, at family time, Nehemiah prayed naturally. It was the response of his heart. He was soaked in prayer, and it came out as he worked. The Bible encourages us, you and me now, to pray as we work. This can be at the computer, on the factory floor, in school, at the hospital, in the kitchen, whilst watching TV, in the surgery, or in a management meeting, whatever you're in there. Many of us have exchanged paid work for a senior lifestyle. Fine. The principle remains the same. We should be praying as we live out our lives day by day. We especially need to pray as we meet people and meet problems, because pray and bring God into your decisions, your actions, your conversations, and your life at work or play. Many of you remember times when God has answered prayer at work, such as wisdom in certain situations, conversations that have opened up with an opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, times when we've been prevented from saying something foolish. Some will remember times when opportunities to witness for God were not taken because we haven't been in the spirit of instant prayer. Nehemiah's request was put with fear, verse 2. Yet his request was put wisely, verse 5. And he has the king's favor because he was granted his request, and his courage grows because he asks further. And it's good to see there, isn't it? An immediate answer to prayer, praise God. How does he gain his requests? Well, not by merit. Not by interest in the king, by talking about maybe the king's sporting interests or anything like that. Not by eloquent words. Not by good management there. What is the origin of his success? Well, could somebody read, please, the last sentence of verse 8 of chapter 2? The last sentence of verse 8 of chapter 2.
And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me.
Amen. That is the reason why he achieved, and that is the reason why we will achieve as we go about our Christian lives day by day. The good hand of the Lord is upon it, upon us. It's not because of what we do, it's not because of our abilities, but because of God's assistance. God wants us, you and me now, to use our abilities for his purposes, his glory. Philippians 2 tells us this: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah? In other words, you and me have got to be part of it. We don't just sit there passively and say, okay, God, carry on. No, not at all. We have to work out our own salvation. And how does the sentence end? For it is God who works in you. And God, by his Holy Spirit, will work in each and every one of us as we seek to live for him day by day. Always remember that you and I are strongest when we are weakest. Yeah, that's important. Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem with officers, soldiers, and letters for timber. Sign of importance and honor, and also protection. And the new governor arrives in Jerusalem. What is missing? There's no red carpet, is there? There's no welcoming party. There's no dinner or celebration. There's no fanfare of trumpets. No noise, whatever. He slips in quietly. The people took little notice of him, but Nehemiah didn't mind one bit there. When you and I go in somewhere, slip in quietly. Don't expect a grand welcome or whatever now. Slip in quietly and get on with what God has put into your heart there. Realize that when people took little notice of him, he took great notice of them. So then, that's his request. Secondly, his reconnaissance. It's an army phrase, that is, you know, about reconnoitering the land and things like that there. Yeah, how does he do it? Well, he does it at night. He sets out at night, and it was not known that he was doing it, and he looked at the walls, the foundation, the ruins, the state they had been in for years, lying waste. It was a terrible sight. It was a sad sight, even at night, but it was a moving sight there. He had never seen it before, and now he saw it with his own eyes. He needed to evaluate what he saw so he could plan the reconstruction. A job will be well done if it is well considered. Here, Nehemiah didn't rush into the task. He surveyed the ground, he looked over the job thoroughly and examined in detail what needed to be done. Now, you and I, probably daily, are doing things for God. Yeah, involved maybe in some long-term project, maybe something short-term, doesn't matter there. But whatever God-given task you have got, we need to prepare well. We need to do our homework. We need to consider the points, the problems, and things like that. Now, if you've got a problem in the house, what do? More often than not, well, you go on YouTube, don't you, and look about how to fix it. Well, we don't look on YouTube for how to fix God's problems there. We look to God himself. And we look to the experience of other people, what they can learn. And sometimes you can learn things from the internet about how things should or shouldn't be done there. So, whether it's training children, teaching young people, witnessing for God, helping others, doing something practical, ensure that you put sufficient time, thought and preparation into the work God has given you. One writer says, those who amend must first know what is amiss. That is the point of reconnaissance, finding out what the problem is. When you go to the doctors, maybe you go this week, I don't know. The first question is not, what do you think is wrong with you? Really, he's not saying that. The question is, what are your symptoms? What are your symptoms? That's what a doctor can tell you. If you take your car to the garage, the mechanic, he or she, won't say what's, will say what's wrong, and they're doing so that they may identify the fault. So if you and I are trying to put things right, we need to identify what is wrong. In this instance, Nehemiah's reconnaissance helped him to identify what was wrong and what needed putting right. So we have his request, his reconnaissance, and his revealing in verse 17. Right. Let me just read that. And he said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. How fairly did he put the issue? Notice the choice of words. Let us. Not let you. Right? Not only was he identifying with the problem, but he was also part of the solution for it there. He was identifying himself, and it was going to be a joint effort together with him. His involvement was there. He didn't try to do it without them. He didn't command them to do it, you know. Well, some people might have tried to do that. You must do this and you must do that. He encouraged and exhorted them and excited their minds and their hearts with the thought of the work. He doesn't take praise or flattery, does he? You know, there's nothing like that there. He didn't say the thought of the idea was his own. What are we told? Well, in verse 18. And I told them of the hand of my God which was upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. The origin, where it all comes from, is the grace of God. He sees the king's commission, favour and support, and the providence of God. It happens. Do you have hands that are creative? A brain that is good with figures? Health and fitness for your age? A home to enjoy and share with others? A heart that prays? A desire to talk to people? New or regular people that you meet week by week? Children who are a joy to be with? A job with a good reward and satisfying achievements? Great. Good to hear. Whatever you have, God has provided them. Praise his name. Apply, use, and make these qualities available in church. I'm sure a lot of you do, as far as that's concerned. Because God has brought each and every one of you to seek and work together to build up this part of Christ Church here in this town. We're told again here, when the people saw the origin of the work, what was their response? It was this: let us start this rebuilding. The project was on the move. It was off the ground, but there were going to be difficulties. But God was in it. How do you respond when somebody says to you to consider doing something for the Lord in the church? How do you respond? I'd love to. That's a lovely response in being asked, especially to the one who's asking it there. It may be you might say, well, I've been praying about what else I could do for the Lord. You're already doing things, but you're willing to take on something else for the Lord there. And it's been on my heart to be more involved, and you have shown me how. These are responses. But sadly, some of the responses are, I've not got time. I've not got the skills for this. I'm not bothered. I'm not good enough to do it there. I always have to smile. We had a young couple in our church when we were a young couple, which was quite a few years ago now, and they came and lived opposite to us. And how did they work out how they were going to do what in the house? And the answer was, well, the lady of the house, the wife of the house, she was going to be responsible for everything inside the house. And the man of the house, the husband, well, he was going to be responsible for everything outside of the house there. And that's how they worked it out. And people work it out in different ways. I don't think it works out that way nowadays, but that's another thing there. It's important that we do. We should be taking our part in building up the Church of God here at Shepshed so that God gets the glory for our contribution. The attitude of let us doing a work for God is God's way of putting it in your heart. I believe, and you do too, in an active God. One who is alive, one who intervenes, one who operates on our minds, and one who works in our heart. And in verse 12, we read this. When I can find it. Oh well. What my God has put in my heart to do. That is what he encourages us to do. God doesn't change. He's still putting things into our hearts. Might be little things, doesn't have to be a big thing at all. It might be an act, a word. It might be doing something personally. It might be simply making a crumble and taking it around to somebody's home. It doesn't matter. Whatever it happens to be there. Whatever your heart, whatever God has put into your heart for him to do, today or this week, do it. It isn't, as I said, mighty or a prominent task. It's often something that's done in the background there. It may seem insignificant and unimportant, but God has put it into your heart, so go and do it. And the last point is ridicule. Verse 19. Not everyone was pleased with Nehemiah came on the scene. The enemies of the Jews in Samaria learnt about the new governor in Jerusalem, and Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem were three influential leaders of the surrounding nations, and they did not want a strong Jerusalem. So from square one, they opposed the project. Verse 10 says, here was someone who had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So despite the threats of, you are rebelling against the king, it didn't dent their passion to get on with the work. They had confidence in the Lord, and their confidence was expressed there in verse 20, where it says, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Sidlow Baxter said this once, men may spur our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. Remember that as you live your life. His request, God granted the gracious hand, granted because the gracious hand of God was upon him. His reconnaissance, necessary to understand the work to be done. His revealing, the response of the people was, let us rise up and build. And his ridicule, answer was, the God of heaven will prosper